I think you got me, right? This is really close to my face. Wow. Well, thank you for the invite. I wish it was under different circumstances. Pastor Brian is a good friend. And I say good friend because more than once has that man opened up. My brother has opened up this pulpit for me to come and share with you. And I'm just excited. Brian is someone that we need in this community. And so I just consider a real honor and privilege to be here and to help him out. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak in such a way that it might sound like I'm angry in some points, but I'm not. I'm just so filled and excited to share this with you. That's where it's coming from. I've been told by friends around me, they're like, you have this brightness that comes from you, and if I'm speaking and I'm like really, it's because I am excited. I count it an honor and privilege. I don't take this place, this pulpit, lightly. And so I am going to give you what I believe that Creator God has wants me to deliver to you this morning. So I'm going to be speaking from John chapter 15. And you'll notice that there are some awkward pauses, but I do that intentionally. We as Native people, we truly believe that silence, Creator is in it. Creator God is in the silence. And so there are times where I will pause and it will be intentional because he is telling me to slow it down. And so I will slow it down. But I'm going to speak from John 15, 13 specifically. And I want to share with you just a short, I didn't plan for it, but it's crazy that it came up. You know, my wife would tell me when I served as a staff pastor at a church in town here, she goes, you know what, when some of my favorite moments are when you preached, Bobby, she said, is when you took the music stand and you put it off to the right and you just believed that your week of study paid, you know. And so I had one of those moments just now as we were worshiping, and this is how the connection really happened with this church, because Pastor Brian was one of the people that I shared this with. So shortly, I don't even think he had been here a year. And Pastor Brian, we met each other at Pastor's Weekly Prayer, and he's like, I'd love to sit down and get lunch with you somewhere. And we went to Blarney Stone, my favorite restaurant, and the rest is history. He asked me, you know, what's going on down here? Down here on the Standing Rock Reservation. And so I was like, okay, we're going to go there that fast. And during that time, it was the pipeline protests. And so Brian wasn't one that was going to argue with me. Pastor Brian, my brother, sat there and listened. It's rare. The type of listening that Pastor Brian, I don't know if any of you experienced this, but the type of listening that Pastor Brian has, sometimes he can interrupt, but he interrupts with clarifying questions. I remember sitting there, I was like, man, if he shows up on the reservation, he's going to really kind of turn off the elders, you know, because when an elder's speaking, your job as a young person, you know, I'm 48 winters, I think that's young. My sons are like, no, Dad, you're old. It's my job to just be quiet and listen. So Brian's like, well, what about this? And what about this? I'm like, I'll tell you. But it's something that I appreciate about him, because in our friendship, he's taught me a lot of things too. So he says, what's going on down there? Asks a lot of clarifying questions. And I shared with him this. As the summer months went on, as we started going into the fall, I asked my mother, a traditional Dakota woman, traditional meaning ceremonial, She believes in this man, Jesus Christ. However, she still lives out traditional ceremonial life. And so she's like seeing all this unfold down on the reservation. I said, Mom, what do I tell my brothers and sisters in Christ? What do I tell them as this thing ends? See, my name in Dakota is Ehana Wodaku Yepiki, the long ago ancestor, or he brings his relatives with him. When my family gave me my name, they watched me and they saw, they wanted to see what was operating or coming from my spirit that God gave me. And so they looked at me and they're like, you are living out our way of life and what it means to be Dakota, to be a good relative. Because if you were to boil down what it means, our very ethos, our very essence, it would mean to be a good relative. Now, either I believe that I am a relative in Christ and I am co-heirs with you, or I don't. Or I say, well, because they're not of this denomination and this leaning theologically, then we're not related. No, that I don't get that choice. He made me a part of a new tribe, a new nation, and it's a colorful one at that, from every tribe, nation, and tongue. So my mother says to me, Bobby, tell your brothers and sisters in Jesus to come be our friends. Tell them to come and to laugh with us, to cry with us, but tell them to stay longer than a donations drop. And I'm like, Mom, that's too easy. Come be our friends. I'm going to go to the churches of Bismarck Mandan, and I'm going to tell them, come be our friends. I'll be laughed out of the room, you know, or the facility, whatever. But the more I thought about it, the more it comes from this portion of Scripture. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what my mother was saying. Bobby, tell them to lay down their lives and to come down here and to be our friends. This portion of Scripture kind of highlights that this is something that is done among us. And I'm going to share with you some things, some places of improvement that I think that areas that we can improve on as the body of Christ. But I want to introduce myself in Dakota way, and that means that I'm going to speak in the language and I'll translate after. So, how midaku yepi, ehana wodaku yepi ki, imakiapi, Bismarck, North Dakota, ed wati, tokanua, South Dakota, hechia to oho wahi, wanietu wikchemina dopa sam ma shakoi. I said, hello, my relatives. My name is the long ago ancestor. You know me as Bobby Gray Eagle. My name is the long ago ancestor. I come from Enemy Swim, South Dakota. I live in Bismarck, North Dakota. I am 48 winners. It is one of the most basic introductions, but I'm trying to teach myself the language. And so I feel like I'm being a good relative by speaking it to all of you because that's what my family sees in me. I would love to read this portion of Scripture to you before I get into it. I just feel like there's this, like, reading it is better. So, I love when our Reformed brothers and sisters stand up during the reading of God's Word. And so, if you would join me in standing up, and in Dakota way, when we pray, we are respecting Creator and we stand up. So this is just so cool. I'm in John chapter 15, and I'm going to start reading at verse 12. And in my Bible, it's labeled, or the heading is Disciples' Relationship to Each Other. Keep that in mind. All right, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Creator God, we ask that you would help me to speak your word, help my relatives to hear it. We truly believe that you are a God that is over all time in the created order. So we're asking for you to place your angels in this place, like Scripture says. They are ministering spirits sent to serve those that will inherit the kingdom. We're asking for you to prepare our minds, prepare our ears, and prepare our hearts to receive what you have given me to give my relatives here. We thank you for hearing this prayer, for always hearing our prayers. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, in Dakota Way, you guys can go and have a seat. In Dakota Way, and I'm going to explain to you two examples, three, but two human, one Dakota example and one military example. And I'm going to do my best to hit on the military one. My brother, he's a sergeant first class in the Army. He's going to retire pretty soon. I'm pretty excited about him retiring and us having more time together. But I want to talk to you guys about the Lakota. Notice I said Lakota, and I've been saying Dakota, because in the Sioux way, that's what we were called. We were called the Sioux people, but we don't call ourselves Sioux. We call ourselves Ocheti Shakoi, the Seven Council Fires. I think the Seven Council Fires is way cooler than the Great Sioux Nation, although that's pretty good. I mean, our relatives up in Three Affiliated, they're like, hey, why did the Sioux get to call themselves the Great Sioux Nation? We're the Great Mandan Hidatsa. I think it's we didn't call ourselves that. In fact, teachable moment here, Sioux is just a shortened version of an Ojibwe word, a longer word, Naduesu, meaning little snakes in the grass, depending on who you ask. And people will be like, see, I knew it! I knew it! Bobby's a little snake. No, no. This is what they meant by it. My good friend Dakota Goodhouse, he's an instructor at United Tribes, he's a PhD candidate. He says, you know, what they were saying in this moment when they were calling us little snakes in the grass, they were saying that, watch out for those people on the plains, Naduesu. They are as stealthy as snakes in the grass. I mean, there's not a lot on the prairie, right? People drive through here, they're like, yay, North Dakota. You know, oh, it's gone. And it, not really. I've drove the whole thing, and it takes a long time. And so our relatives, our Lakota family, the Seven Council Fires, the Great Sioux Nation is divided into three major bandings, the Dakota, the Lakota, and the Nakota. The Lakota people, I heard several years back some elders talk about this relationship that I thought really was a descriptive of Jesus. I was like, whoa! And the person said, you know, we don't, one of the most, if not the most, sacred relationships you can have among Dakota people is that of a friend. When somebody calls you friend or brother, you need to pay attention, because they're saying, I take you, we throw it around as guys, like, what's up, bro? And it doesn't go, but we wouldn't call that brother at 3 o'clock in the morning when a trial or tribulation showed up. We wouldn't call them. So the native, our Lakota relatives, are saying, when you hear that word friend, he's my kola. They speak with L, the L dialect down there. When you hear kola, you need to pay attention, because they're saying, I have taken you as my friend, and you can expect certain behavior from me. And hearing it should make you like, oh, okay, there's something that's expected of me also. Here's where it really baked my noodle. It doesn't end. Oh, they moved away. Oh, he's way over on the West Coast. Doesn't matter. If I called said brother up, say, hey, man, I need you. I need you. Brother would show up. He would get in his car, and he would lay down his life. He would pour resources into a car to come to me. not even having. I need you right now. But he can tell that I've been weeping. I've been in lament. I need you right now. It's all I can say. In Dakota way, the D dialect, Eastern tribes, that's Minnesota tribes, that's where I'm from, before we were pushed out onto the plains. One of our philosophers describes it this way. Says, and his name is Dr. Charles Eastman. If you wanna read some Dakota thought, a native philosopher, he was the first physician, a native physician, I believe. He walked this earth when the events of Wounded Knee happened, and they were bringing in the people from. He was the native physician that was the attending there. He says, and I even though he wouldn't call himself this, I believe that he is a theologian. But listen to how he describes friendship. Dr. Charles Eastman, and I believe this is in Indian Boyhood. Friendship is held to be the severest test of character. It is easy, we think, to be loyal to family and clan, whose blood is in our own veins. But to have a friend and to be true under any and all trials is the mark of man. And another quote, the highest type of friendship is the relation of brother-friend or life and death friend. This bond between man and man is usually formed in early youth and can only be broken by death. It is the essence of camaraderie, a fraternal love, without thought or pleasure of gain, but rather of moral support and inspiration. Each is vowed to die for the other, if need be, and nothing denied to the brother friend. But neither is anything required that is not in accord with the highest conceptions of the Indian mind. Man, that sounds like our relative Dr. Charles Eastman has been in this book. Like Creator has given him revelation to this power of friendship. Notice Jesus doesn't say in John 15, greater love has no one than this, than a mother, child, father, son. He highlights friendship. In Dakota way, we believe that too. It's not elder, child. It's not grandpa, grandchild. It's not mother, father. It's not adopted relative. It's friendship. The second example is in the military. It was interesting, as I searched for, as I studied, I was looking at examples on friendship. They're few and far between, but you know what? One thing that most pastors default to is when they hear, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, they go to the military. They think that is one of the highest. I saw it in my brother. My brother is staff sergeant in the Army. It just floored me that he would run into bullets because one of the guys is down. One of his family is down. But he would say, Bobby, these are my brothers. These are my friends, and I will die for them. If I have to drag him back and I got 5 holes in me and I don't make it, I'm going to go and get my brother. I'm going to get my friend. Why is it that the United States military and the camaraderie that happens there, that they get this before the church gets it? This isn't a slight to any of you or any church in America. It's just how we behave. All I'm doing is highlighting, are we being good relatives? Are we being friends right now in this time of human history? Or are we divided? You don't want to listen to Brother So-and-so because Brother So-and-so is, he votes this way. And you know that lot of them, they're all a bunch of demons. blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. What does Scripture say should not? That shouldn't even happen, right? But we do it. Think to yourself, how many of you have said something about a relative in Jesus, no matter what denominational leaning, and they weren't even in the room? Thou shall not bear false witness. But we do it. I do it. What? I'm going to talk to the church secretary and the leadership at this church. Why did they bring that native pastor in here? He doesn't live again. Did you hear? He breaks the commandments. Flash traffic, y'all. We all break them. If you're guilty of breaking one commandment, you're guilty of breaking them all. Pastor Dan, he's our worship leader, fasts 6 times a week, tithes all his income. Nobody's like our pastor, our worship pastor Dan. I bet you if you were there listening to his prayers, his special time with God, his prayer closet, I bet you would hear him crying out for mercy. I know him too. Dan is a friend from, Reach the City at the Bell Mayhews. Just this wild idea that if we worship God in a crazy time during that moment, the pipeline protests, that if the church came together and worshiped God, that powerful things could happen. And they did. Friendships were formed. I'm saying we need to come back to that way. We need to remember the old way. God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us to the highest relationship, a friendship. And then he lived it out. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who did it first? Jesus. He's the friend of sinners. Jesus lived this out perfectly. And notice, this portion of Scripture contains a command. Verse 12, this is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, well, Bobby, come on. We can't live up. Jesus is perfection. I don't see any, like, a small number one there or an A that tells me to go down to the notes and says, it's a command. It flat out says this is what we're supposed to do. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. How many of you right now are cut to the heart because you know that you have not been a friend to Jesus? You have not lived out the biblical theme for the past week. Or even today, driving here. I don't know. Or maybe for the last several years, because the body of Christ is hurting right now. And we are at each other's throats. Verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. He continues on. He says, but I have called you friends. Because I've revealed everything that God is doing. Now that's a friendship. Brother shows up on my door 12 hours later, and I'm like, this is what's going on, bro. Man, my son is going on this, and this is what's happening, and it's just threw this all open. And I'm giving that to my brother. And he's just taking it on. And he's just listening to me. And he's doing what Job's friends did in the first 7 days. He's not giving me any type of, well, what you need to do is you need to do this. No, he's sitting there and listening. Job's friends probably did him the most solid of solids by just being quiet those 7 days. We need to recapture that too. Not everybody needs to hear our sage wisdom. And I'm guilty of it. Every time you hear something that might come across, I'm telling you, I struggle with these things too. Never hold a pastor, an elder, or a deacon, or a worship leader higher than they need to be held. If you're going to hold up anyone, hold up Christ. Verse 17, these things I command you so that you will love one another. It's interesting that when Jesus was called good teacher, he got in the person's face and said, why do you call me good? There's only one who's good. Again, that bakes my noodle. Wait, aren't you fully God and fully man? So I don't understand. Why do you call me good? There's only one who's good. And I only do what I see him doing. Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. Put a pin in that. Paul tells the Corinthian church, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Put a pin in that. I only do what I see the Father doing. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Well, how do you imitate somebody? In the days of YouTube, all you have to do is pull open a video on your phone and you can build another addition to your shed, you know, and you're watching, okay, I just cut this and imitate me as I imitate Christ. Both of these things are calling us to this life of imitating one another in the body of Christ. If our leaders are following Jesus Christ, they're going to imitate what they see in Christ. If we are followers and we are disciples, and that is the culture, that is the ethos of the church, and how we treat one another, we're going to live that out. Whenever we're together here, we're going to live that out when we're at home. We're going to be good friends. I'm going to jump back to John 13, and I'm going to begin at verse 31. You're welcome to follow. I'll go through 35, but John chapter 13, verse 31. And I was really intrigued why this came up, but I was like, okay, I'll throw it in there. But I don't understand why you would have me teach on this and then go backwards, but okay, whatever. John chapter 13, verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. Verse 32. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Everybody say love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. The example is Jesus. By this all people will know that you're my disciples, for your love for one another. Again, I'm going to caveat this. What I say to you, I'm saying to myself, because I struggle. In fact, let me tell you, I work as a missionary with a missionary movement, Campus Crusade for Christ crew, and I've been pretty hard on them as of late. Pretty hard. I haven't been a good friend. First and foremost, I haven't been a good friend of Jesus Christ. He is the head, and I'm just a body part. So, with that being said, I lead into this hard thing that I believe that the Church of America needs to hear. Perhaps the reason that there is so much division is in the church is because we have forgotten this old way. This way of life that Jesus taught his disciples and that he modeled. Perhaps the reason why our churches are splitting and young people are dipping out and the numbers of the nuns or nones, N-O-N-E-S, are increasing. People are deconstructing their faith right now. I can't tell you how many social media posts that I see on Facebook and everywhere else, I've left the church. Now, as a man that has drove his son away, his oldest son away from the faith, and is still working to repair that damage that I did, I can tell you, the environment in my home back then when my son was a teenager wasn't a good one. Because he had to live by certain things. Everybody had to walk on eggshells around spiritual Bob Gray Eagle, spiritual Bobby Gray Eagle. Why is it that the church, why is it that we can be so quick to criticize one another? Oh, I just wish that they would not sing those songs from that ministry. I just wish that they would not do this and they wouldn't do that. And, you know, if they don't take care of this, then I'm going to leave. And I'm going to, I don't know, I'm not going to name a church. I'm going to the ABC church down the road. I believe that we have forgotten the truest sense of no greater love has anyone than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. This old teaching from our head man, Christ. That is a Dakota way of saying that there is no one higher than Christ. Christ fulfills all the ways of life perfectly of my tribe. I look at the man Christ and I look at all of our values and who we are and I'm like, they're lived perfectly in Jesus Christ. He lives out the way that we are supposed to live, but we're too afraid to do it. But we have the power to. Instead of living our lives and laying down our lives, what do? We want our way. Well, I'm just not going to go to church. And let's see if they notice if I'm not there for 3 weeks. I'm going to stop tithing. I don't know if you guys tithe, but I'm going to stop giving. I'm going to stop attending Bible study. I'm not volunteering anymore. Man, it just reminds me, I mean, that kind of behavior is like Jonah, you know, the plant is dead and he's just sitting there. And the Lord still engages him. He's, hey, you upset about the plant? Yeah, angry enough to die. I recognize that because I can be like that. But we want our way of life, and it's not. If it was up to us, and everybody was running around getting what they wanted. I can't even imagine what it would look like. This is small potatoes, believe it or not. This is small compared to if everyone was running around. If the staff pastors, if all of these guys played something else. Oh, I just love the way that, you know, the Hillsong drummer does. And he's going off way over here and they're going off way over there. And the singers are like, oh, the solo is mine. We'd have chaos up here, wouldn't we? It's no different in the body of Christ. All these parts running all over the place. One of the hardest things that I hear when I'm journeying among my people is this. And it breaks my heart. Because when God planted faith in me, I thought, man, this is so awesome. I am part of something that is going to change, like, the course of the world, human history. I was excited about that. But coming from a dysfunctional environment, I can tell you that I can identify bad behavior when I see it. And I'm like, holy cow, it's here too. Well, I'm not the only one that notices that. My elders say things like, Bobby, why don't your brothers and sisters in Jesus believe what they say they believe? What do you mean? Well, they say they believe in the sacred and they believe in the Holy Spirit and that Jesus is the way, but they don't act like it. And then they go on in detail of what they've experienced at the hands and at the mouth, the behavior of the followers of what they've experienced up here in Bismarck, how they've been treated. It's the church. They're not highlighting Bismarck, Mandan, or North Dakota, or Burley, or Martin County. They're saying that some of these churches, when they come down here, they don't act, they're not nice. Why do I share that? I share that for this one reason. I take hits all the time. I lay down my life every time I go to the reservation and I tell them about Christ. That's white man's God. Why are you talking about white man's God? Because it is not white man's God. He is the lion from the tribe of Judah. They worship God in the desert, in a tent, for Pete's sakes. Their men, like Noah and others, went up on, Moses and others, went up on a hill, on a high place, to hear from God. They grew up in occupied territory too. And like our ceremony, and we dance to this tree that we're tied to, and we're secured, we have these cuts in us, and we pull away the flesh and we bleed so that the people will live. Jesus danced to a cross. They look at me like, we've never heard this explained this way. We've never heard anyone explain the gospel in a way that we can understand. I have to risk a lot. And I feel like that we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't look at each other with that honor. You, even though we probably have not shaken hands, we've not got to know, I lay down my life for you when I'm on the reservation. You are dear to me because Scripture says you are dear to me because you're dear to him. You are my family. You are my brothers and sisters. Some of you are my grandparents. Some of you are my aunties and uncles. Some of you are my brothers and sisters. Some of you are my nieces and nephews or my grandchildren or my children. But we are related. When are we going to look at Scripture and believe what it has to say about the church of God? Man, I go down there and I tell them about the wonder and awe that is the body of Christ. Why do you hang around? Why do you hang around the Catholics, Bobby? Why do you hang around the Lutherans? Why do you hang around the Orthodox and the Pentecostals? Why do you hang around that denomination? Because I'm trying to be a good relative. And I wish that the body of Christ would grab onto this old way again. Because Bismarck and Mandan would never be changed, or would never be the same. This church would never be the same. And a lost and dying world right now in 2020 would take notice. They would look at Bismarck Baptist and they would say, God is among them. Because one of the first people groups that would recognize it would be my people. Yeah, we got to get together. Why is that? That other group that's coming down here, did you notice? Yeah, I did. It's different. Yeah, I know. They will notice your love, our love for one another. We have done a poor job of keeping this commandment. We have not kept it. And like I said earlier, if we've broken one commandment, we've broken them all, right? Romans tells us that. There's none righteous, no, not one. Grandma so-and-so, sister so-and-so, auntie so-and-so, elder so-and-so, whoever you lift up. These individuals, if they have humility, you know what they'll say? You need to look to Christ. I am nothing when it comes to that standard. So if I just leave you there and said, great seeing you guys, hope some of you guys volunteer, peace, and I dip out, I leave you in a bad place. Holy cow, they asked that little guy, Bob Gray Eagle, to show up here, and he just discouraged everybody and left. No, I can't leave you there. I can't leave you there. The scandalousness of the gospel is this, is that Christ lived this out perfectly for us. In Dakota Way, we have this ceremony. It's called a blanket ceremony. And you're given the highest honor that anyone can receive. If the buffalo were still roaming in the numbers they were, you would be given this buffalo robe, and it would be put around you, and you would stand there, and all the people would honor you, and you would just, oh, man, I feel so honored. The scandalous of the gospel is this, is that even though we have let Christ down, even though we will continue to let Christ down, we are clothed in Christ. God looks through the clothing, the covering that is Jesus Christ, and we are seen as righteous. Noodle baker, like nobody's business. What? So if I don't do it today, but I do it tomorrow, I'm still, yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yesterday's sins and all the ones leading up to those, today's sins, the ones that you're going to do this afternoon and evening, tomorrow's sins, for the rest of the, they are covered by Christ's blood. He chose us. Let the gratitude of that warm your heart. He knew you and I. He knew that the church of God was going to let him down, was going to, and he doesn't need to be held up, but you know what I mean. We were going to fall short of the mark, and he still chose us. You know what? Century Baptist is mine. Bismarck Baptist is mine. ABC Church is mine. Denomination is mine. And I love them, and I'm not going to prune them off because I see that there's a place where these big clusters of fruit can show up. Christ chose you. With all of your failures, he chose you. He chose me. If you let that gratitude warm your heart, the grace that he has given you, warm your heart, this community, your family, your line will never be the same. We don't do it for that. But what the world needs to see now is that we love one another. It's going to be hard. It will be hard. I have people that will come to me and say, we'd love to volunteer with you, but we can't because that group of people is coming. Now imagine if we were patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Imagine if we lived that out among each other. Bismarck, Mandan, Burley, and Morton County, North Dakota would be changed forever. Would be changed. So I ask you, my relatives, will you remember this old way? Because memory is medicine. If you take that medicine fully and you go and you apply it, which is faith, he will be well pleased. You're not doing it for anyone here. You're not doing it for the elders and deacons or Pastor Brian. You're not doing it for Bobby Gray Eagle. You're doing it because right now the God Almighty is looking at you clothed with Christ and he is smiling. That whole congregation, Bismarck Baptist, is ours. Aren't you proud of them, son? Yep. I laid my life down for them. We need to recapture this old way. And the best way for us to do it is to remember what was done for us in Christ Jesus. Because, like I said, that grace, that gratitude will warm your heart and you'll go out there and you'll act a different way. You are clothed with the buffalo robe. Or now we're using Pendletons or quilts. And for a man, we would put it over them like this, and they still stand there. Tribes have blanketed our governor, elected officials, pastors, and all. They put the blanket over the man, and he stands there, and he's seen, and people honor him. Women, they put it around them like they're cold, you know, because they are. No. Some women are. But think of that. That's how God has come to me to deliver this to all of you. You have been given this blanket, this covering of Christ. And even if we go out, and even if you're indifferent right now, or you're like, dang, Pastor Brian would have wrapped it up by now. Wherever you're at, he sees you, and the fact of the matter that you're here, he chose you. He's not done with you, and he's not done with this church. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come before you today, and we thank you for the example of our older brother, Jesus. We pray, O God, that you would help us, because we can't do it ourselves. So we ask that you would help us to live this out. So, two things. We ask that you would quicken us with your loving kindness and that you would quicken us with your righteousness. We thank you that you heard this prayer, that you always hear our prayers. In your son, Jesus' name, amen.